Morning. Welcome. We are so glad you are here this morning. If you're the first time visitor here this morning, we do have a little sheet in your pew. If you would want to fill that out for us, that would be greatly appreciated. We welcome each and every one of you here this morning, and it is so wonderful to be here on this Thanksgiving week. So if you're into poinsettias, you can order those now for display in the sanctuary. Red, white, or marbled blooms at $6.50 per plant. So you'll want to get your poinsettia orders in just as soon as possible. If you don't have an offering envelope and you're interested in receiving an offering envelope, just let us know and we'll be glad to get you an offering envelope for 2015. Remember, this Wednesday is the community Thanksgiving service. It starts at 7 p.m. and that's at the Salem Lutheran Church. And then any youth tonight at 5 o'clock, and it'll go to about 7 o'clock at Cheryl and Bill Strahl's. We're going to be doing flashlight tags, so make sure you bring a flashlight, dress nice and warm, and we'll have a great time tonight with youth. Are there any, and there's no choir on the Wednesday that there is the community Thanksgiving service, so no choir on the night of the community Thanksgiving service. Are there any other announcements this morning that could be shared with our church community? Yes. Wonderful. Thank you. Yes. Continue to shower Curtis with cards, such encouragement for him. That's great on part of the church family, and also with the Christmas stockings, December 14th, to remember to put those either in the mailboxes listed there or also where the stockings are hung with care. I love Christmas. Anyone else love Christmas? Amen. Bring on Christmas. All right, if there's no other announcements to share this morning, we'd invite you to rise. We are starting this morning with We Gather Together, number 17.
Turn to hymn number 94, Come Ye Thankful People.
Come,
We come to that time of our service to share our joys and concerns. This is always one of the most uplifting times of our church service because we know that we serve a God that indeed hears our prayer. So we invite you this morning to share in any joys or concerns that you may have.
I was blessed to be able to spend a week with my sister in South Carolina and her extended family. She's still on the prayer list here at our church. And they extend their thanks for the prayers and ask that we continue to remember them. The son-in-law has his father now in a rehab center. He's been back in the hospital twice with infections. He has his grandmother in a retirement place. She's been back in the hospital because she's fallen. And he's still looking after his sister who has a very short time to live. And it's really tough for the family to take on two children that they're going to be raising. So they thank you for your prayers and ask that you continue.
Thank you. Any others this morning? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you recognizing that you are our Creator God, that you have made each of us in your image. And Lord, we pray that we would strive to live our lives reflective of you, that we would demonstrate your love and your care and your compassion and your mercy to others as we go about this week. Lord, you know each of the prayer concerns on our hearts. You know those joys that we have. And Lord, we know that you also celebrate with us in those times, and you come alongside us as we have needs. And we just continue to pray for Jean Meyer's sister and her family, Lord, that you would just draw near to them. Lord, we know that you are a miracle worker, and though she's near to death, Lord, we know that you can also touch her body and bring complete healing and restoration. And Lord, we pray that your will would just be accomplished. You would allow those children to be cared for and nurtured, and just allow the family to surround one another in love and know that their comfort and peace comes from you. We just continue to pray for recovery with many who have had surgeries, and think of Lester Bayshore and Lisa Gagliano and others, Lord, that are recovering from sicknesses and surgeries and things that have taken toll on them in this life. But Lord, we do know that this life is temporary, and we look forward to our life eternal, spending it with you, free from pain and free from suffering. But while we remain here on this earth, Lord, we pray that we would be faithful. We pray that we would surrender our lives to you. We would be obedient to your will. And Lord, we just pray in these next few moments of silent prayer that you would hear what's on our hearts, that you would hear our confessions, and you would just hear those concerns that may not have been lifted up, but we give to you now in these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness that was offered through the cross as your Son poured out his life on behalf of ours. And we think of Curtis, and we think of Chris and others, Lord, that come to mind of faith, and just ask that you would minister to them during their times of need right now, Lord. Draw near to their families and just allow us to continue to support and pray in every possible way we know how. Lord, we just turn to you now this morning. We just continue to ask that you would fill us afresh, that you would allow us to be transformed, that your word would speak to us and help us to be joyful and to be thankful. For Lord, we know that when we turn to you, we can grow in our relationship and we can seek you and know that you can be found. So we thank you, Lord, that you meet us where we are. But Lord, we pray that you would take us even further in our walk with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to rise to your feet and join us singing "Great is the Lord," number 87.
for our offertory thought this morning, I invite you to a responsive reading, page 681 of your hymnals. Page 681. Number 681. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Sing praises to God. Sing psalms in God's honor. Praise the Lord, all people. Praise God's everlasting name. Of course, we know this morning that money really doesn't mean anything to God. But what we do know is that it is an open doorway to our lives. So when we give our offerings as a response to our devotion to God, we're opening our hearts to Him as generous and joyful givers. That was awesome. Thank you. So we celebrate something this week. Do you guys know what this is? Have you ever seen one of these before? What does that look like to you guys? Hi, Graham. How are you doing?
A bear.
It looks like a bear? What does it look like to you over here?
Can I hold it?
Well, I'm going to show everyone so they can see what it is first. What do you think? What is it? Okay. He's got a strong grip. He pulled that right out of my hand. That was very good. What do you think that is?
Porcupine.
A porcupine? What do you think it is? Well, in the first service, they said it was a hedgehog, but I was trying to convince them it was a groundhog. Because you know there's a day that they celebrate groundhogs? Do you know there's a groundhog day? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, this week, what do we celebrate this week?
Thanksgiving.
And what animal is typically associated with Thanksgiving?
A turkey.
A turkey, right? Now, which animal, if you think about a groundhog on Groundhog's Day and a turkey on Thanksgiving Day, which animal fares out better?
I don't know. Doesn't the turkey end up on our table? And the groundhog just kind of either shows its shadow or goes back in the hole. Yeah, I think the turkey gets the raw end of the deal on Thanksgiving Day. But we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Yeah. Do you guys have anything that you want to share that you guys are thankful for? What is something you're thankful for? For family? Yeah, very much so. Food? Yeah, we're very blessed with a harvest, aren't we? Lots of food. Do you have a favorite food on Thanksgiving you guys like to eat? I like ham. You like turkey? Does it make you sleepy? They say turkey makes you sleepy. Does it really make you sleepy?
No.
Not really? You guys are still good to go for the rest of the afternoon? Is that true, parents? Yeah? Okay. Very cool. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that we have in our lives to be thankful for. Family, friends, and food. We have a church family out here. Look out there at all those people. You know they really love you guys? Do you know that? So we're thankful to have church family, to have people that support us, not only our families individually, but we have a wonderful church family like this too, that they are praying for you guys on a daily basis, because we know life isn't always easy, and sometimes you face some difficult things. And so we're going to continue to pray for you guys and just pray that God comes alongside you. So let's do that right now and just thank God for each of you and for all the children in the world and just pray his protection over you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these children. We are just so blessed to be able to remember of those things that we're thankful for, and family and food and a warm place to sleep at night and a vehicle to get around and a church family that loves us. And we just pray that you would bless these children and just help them know that they are cared for, that their family loves them so much, and that we do too. And just thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can take the groundhog or hedgehog, whichever it is, with you. Go ahead.
Please to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 110. It's a different number than in your bulletin. 110, O for a Thousand Tongues.
Good morning, God. Are you listening? Are you hearing anything I say? Are you even out there? Oh, I didn't mean that last part. Of course you're out there. I know that. I don't know how I know that, but I know it. Why would I even talk to you if you weren't there? I guess I'm just wondering why you don't make yourself more obvious. You know the things I've been talking to you about every morning and night. It's been almost 6 months and nothing has changed. I'm trying very hard to be joyful, and I didn't expect it to last this long. I thought you'd make things at least a little bit better. And to this point, nothing's happened. What could you be waiting for? Do you know how hard it is to stay focused on you when I keep telling my friends that you answer prayers? It's not like I'm doubting your power. I've heard lots of other people talk about how you answered their prayer in some amazing way. Can it be my turn now? I'm willing to take anything at this point. Where's your power when I need it most? These days have been so long, and it's impossible to stay thankful all the time, despite my circumstances. How about a little something to let me know the answer's coming? I know Paul said pray continually. No matter what happens, keep praying, and I will. I am God. I don't know what else to do. I have nowhere else to go, so please, I'm begging you, hear my prayers.
From the moment we awaken, each day we're faced with a choice. This can be the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Or we can choose to allow our circumstances to define our mood, our attitude, our outlook for the day. It could be we awoke to the thumping of a headache, or it was the kind of night we didn't sleep much at all, thinking about all we needed to accomplish that week, or how in the world we're going to deal with the cost of oil, or whether we truly need a new washer and dryer, or that new used car. Our days are based on thanksgiving and gratitude for another day, or on the basis that life is out to get us. We learn quickly the path we choose defines our interactions. Whether it's a husband or wife, son or daughter, or that poor dog or cat that just looks at you purring or wagging its tail like, "It's okay, don't worry, master." It may be the first person who calls you that day, and you simply go off on them. Perhaps you've been on the receiving end of this and are all too familiar with what I'm talking about. We're not saying everything is always going to be great and happy and joyful. But there's something to the way we carry ourselves in the midst of uneasiness, in the midst of stress, in the midst of, well, let's call a spade, an ace. It's what we call life. When we think about it, as followers of Christ, we're strangers and aliens. This life, this land, is foreign to us. We're simply passing through. While we may agree with these statements to an extent, there's a lot that happens that makes or breaks us. We know we can't hold it all in, or we'll let it out in a burst of fury at precisely the most inopportune time. That friend we've been talking to about coming to church, that boss who just happens to be standing nearby. We are human after all. We do make mistakes. And it provides opportunities to show others we're not perfect, but we are in process. And God does accept us as we are, yet He never wants us to stay there. His desire for us is to grow more in His likeness, following His word, sharing His name. So the question this morning, how can we be thankful people despite our less than perfect days? Our scripture lesson from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 tells us this: always be joyful. Keep on praying, no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, there's times we read scripture and we think to ourselves, "You've got to be kidding. Have you ever been in my shoes? Do you know what I go through in a day?" and we rant and rave, we carry on for a little while, and then we realize, oh yeah, Jesus came in the flesh as a baby born in a manger. He went through 33 years of life. You know, after all, I guess he can relate to what we're going through. I mean, come on, he dealt with Sadducees and Pharisees, those teachers of the law. He hardly had any time to himself, people pressing in around him at all times. He'd even have to retreat to the mountainside for any time alone to pray. Talk about knowing what we deal with. He's the kind of guy who says, for this very moment you're enduring, there's an everlasting hope awaiting, where you no longer suffer or deal with stresses of this life. After all, this life shall pass away, and you will be with me forever in paradise. Even still, we remain here on this earth for just a little while longer. We're mindful that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, waits to devour us at what he knows as our weakest moment. I like to keep that in perspective at times. Being competitive in nature, it's this battle in my mind that's like, bring it, Satan, I'm on my A game today. But you see, sin is a hate-filled terrorist, always lurking, ever looking for occasions to strike and bring grief, like a hijacked plane smashing through an urban high-rise. Sin wants only to rip through our lives, leaving a trail of destruction and misery in its wake. Remember last week, we talked about the one thing we need to do if we want to see God move in our lives. And that one thing is to focus solely on God. It's not like we've never been told before, focus, focus, focus. You can do this. Whether it's an exam in school or a deadline you need to meet for work, we have cutoffs. And we know as followers of Jesus, the day will come when he returns unexpectedly. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, am I ready for that day? Is there something in my life right now that's keeping my focus and attention elsewhere? The enemy would love nothing more than for believers to be caught off guard. The thought terrifies me, and I'm thankful for forgiveness and for grace. But I'm convinced if we start and end each day with fervent prayer, our lives will be more aligned with God. Our focus will be on his presence, and his love for us will pour out over onto others. And this includes our attitude for the day. In our prayers, we call upon the Lord to set our hearts on fire for him, to not allow the enemy a foothold. We pray that we seize every moment and hold every thought captive. As we recall from our study on the book of James, once our words leave our lips, there's no getting them back. Words have the most fuel to set a fire ablaze. We focus, we refocus, and we narrow our sights on God. You see, life is either a distraction or life is an opportunity. It's a distraction because we have given it too much attention. Life impacts us in ways only the world can do. When finances get tight or our marriages fail, they overtake us, and our focus is taken away from the Lord. But when we lose that focus, God's will cannot unfold. We try as we may to control the situation. And can I tell you something? It's not a secret. It's a proven fact over the course of experience. When life throws us into a whirlwind, when our heads are spinning so fast out of control, the enemy has us right where he runs us. He knows we're not going to turn to God. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to get angry. We're going to say regretful things. We're going to focus on ourselves and our situation. One of the greatest attacks is causing us to be inward focused rather than focused on God. It's a brilliant plan. The enemy knows we can't solve it on our own. But if we turn to God and we keep that focus And we stay joyful and thankful no matter what happens. The state of confusion becomes clearer, and God begins to work out our problems. It's not overnight. It's not like he's FedEx. But as our focus is more and more intently on him, we begin to see progress. That's really what we're looking for, after all. The guy praying in our video only wanted a little something to happen. When our focus is on God and not on the situation, this begins to unfold. It's an opportunity because within us we have hope. We have a life when well-lived people are searching for. We choose from that moment we wake up whether it's going to distract us from our focus or on God or bless us with opportunity to reflect his light and his love. We choose the latter when we pray his will to be done. Now I know this won't eliminate the trying times, but as we encounter them, we can smile and rejoice that our faith is being tested, knowing that we're going to make it through even stronger. I realized this only a few days ago as I was preparing this message. I thought I could take a leisurely trip in a recently purchased truck and go to Mifflinburg for a doctor's appointment and come back home with no issues. But that wasn't the plan for the day. The truck breaks down. I get towed to a nearby Sears. After 3 hours of waiting, they say, "We can't fix it, but here's a bill for $201. We replaced your battery." The truck still doesn't start. I had a choice. I could be bitter, I could be angry, or I could be thankful that there wasn't an accident or a worst-case scenario on that highway. I chose joy because I was focusing on what this verse for today was saying. No matter what happens, always be thankful. Those are very strong words. No matter what. That's all-inclusive. That doesn't leave anything out. That word always, it means continuously, ongoing, throughout the rest of our days here on this earth. As we live, as we move, as we breathe with an eternal focus, nothing, and I truly mean nothing, can steal our joy. For we know our joy is not in this world, but in our salvation. We have so much to be thankful for. We can be certain Christ will return. His first coming caught almost everyone off guard, with the exception of his parents, some wise men from the east, a few shepherds, and a couple of senior citizens at the temple. No one was really expecting the arrival of the Messiah. In the same way, we hope of his return will happen at a time many do not expect. Sure, we see an occasional book or a movie about Bible prophecy, but it draws our attention for just a little while. But how would it look if we decided every single day we'll live with expectancy? Can you imagine the number of regrets we'd no longer have? The number of relationships that would be restored? The joyful attitudes with thankfulness that would abound? This church can be a reality. It's about a thanks that keeps on giving. And what I mean is this: when we are thankful, no matter what happens, it gives others a vivid picture of a peaceful life, a life reflected of a mysterious love displayed on a cross long ago. It's difficult for believers today to think back to that very first generation of the gospel and to recapture the sense of strangeness at this new plant, the church, that was growing in the Greek world, to fathom the newness and the incredible nature of the work of God in their lives and hearts. But those believers knew the mighty acts of God were fresh in their mind. This morning, I'm asking us to reflect on what we're thankful for. The gifts we have received from God's giving hands. The signs of God's work in our own day, our own place, our own church. At his first coming, Jesus was God's ultimate show and tell, a living invitation to life, love, and joy. At this second coming, Jesus will function as the righteous judge. who duels out the destiny chosen by each person. For those who call Jesus Lord, that day means rest and relief from this life of trials and suffering. For others, it means something very different. Author C.S. Lewis argued that there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who humble themselves and they say to God, "Thy will be done." And then there are those who stubbornly resist God saying, "My will be done." In other words, we do have a say in what we believe and how we'll live. There's a concept of being a puppet floating around in different circles that God directs us and tells us every single thing we should do, and there's no freedom. But that's not true. He has given us the freedom of choice to believe and to live as we choose. Let our mornings begin with God in prayer. Let our nights end with God in prayer. And I am convinced that everything in between would be about God. Could it be possible that we're always thankful? When we keep on praying, staying focused on God, no matter what happens, we can be thankful. For we know this is God's will for our lives. This morning, what I'd like to end our sermon time with is the opportunity for you to share with the rest of the congregation things that you may be thankful for. I'd invite the ushers, if you could grab a microphone, and if you could simply raise your hand in the air, and let's rejoice together. Let's be thankful together and share in the blessings that God has given us. So if you simply raise your hand, we would greatly appreciate hearing words of encouragement as you have been able to see things that you are thankful for throughout this life.
I'm thankful for my family and the gathering place. I love it there.
Amen. Amen. If you've never made it to the gathering place, I strongly encourage you to you could volunteer, you could just come check it out, enjoy the many flavors of coffee, but what a place to be thankful for, and family indeed. Yes.
An evening shared with friends, sitting around a table, eating pork chops, and ending with apple crisp. The energy to clean up the autumn leaves for another year, and when the weather turned cold, there was a neighbor nearby that we could call in to finish the job. And just the health and strength to do what we need to do each day.
Amen. And we share with one another in those labors. Don't ever hesitate to call upon a friend or a neighbor to help you in those times of need. That's what the church is about. That's what neighbors are about. So we thank the Lord for neighbors and for family, for pork chops. That's a great Thanksgiving meal to have as well. And what a joy. Thank you.
I want to thank God for the family and friends and the people I meet up with. But mainly we want to thank God for Jesus, whose birthday is coming up soon. So I thank God for Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, none of this would be possible without Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. And no one is excluded. He paid the price for every single one of us. How we rejoice. We're so thankful. Yes.
I just want to thank him for every year that we plant our crop, that he gave us such a bountiful crop this year that we can feed the world and keep people eating and keep little children strong and keep families together.
Amen. Amen. The harvest is always plentiful, and it's always great when that comes to pass. Thank you.
I just want to thank God for allowing me to be in a profession of nursing, and every day I get to see and take care of people and help be thankful, and it's truly a blessing to help somebody, and I get to do that every day, and that's pretty amazing.
Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you for what you do. Yes, very encouraging.
I waited so long, I'm probably gonna cry. I thank God for the wonderful people in this congregation. all my friends, my former co-workers. I have the Catholics in Berks County and the Catholics in Lancaster County praying for my son and for us. I thank you for all the prayers of this congregation, the cards, the phone calls, the way things are working behind the scenes. I'm making some really wonderful connections. And I really think the cards seem to just arrive for Ralph and I just on the right day at the right time. And Curtis really appreciates your cards. I can't tell you how much it means, the support of this congregation, and I hope it continues. It's going to be a long haul.
Thank you. Yes, God is good. God is good. And he uses his people to encourage each other. And this has been such a wonderful time of sharing and being thankful and knowing that we're here for each other, and that's a beautiful thing. And one of the universal things we have is a smile. I don't know how often you smile, but I just challenge you this week as you go throughout your days that you have off, if you have a day off, just to smile and allow other people to see just how beautiful your smiles are.
Thank thee for Christian heritage and life and the opportunity to serve thee.
Amen. Amen. Each day we have the opportunity to serve a God that has given us so much, and so we turn to him and we thank him during this time as we close our sermon in prayer, and thank you for everyone that shared. I know there's many more things that we could share in Thanksgiving, but let's pray and just thank God for all that he has blessed us with and those people he has brought into our lives to carry us through. Father, you are so good. We're humbled at the opportunity to say, thy will be done. We know that we live in a world that becomes so me-focused that we become so self-sufficient, but Lord, when we open our hearts and open our minds to living in a community together as fellow believers, we know that we can encourage, we can uplift, we can share in each other's struggles and each other's work, and we pray that we would continue to do that as a body of believers. Lord, we are just so thankful for the strength you give us on a daily basis. We're thankful for the way you encourage us through your word. And we pray that each day, Lord, we would begin with a conversation with you, helping your will to be accomplished. And in between, we would pray at opportunities when we feel a little pressed on every side, when we feel stressed, Lord, we would just take that moment to say, Lord, just thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the incredible gift of your son, Jesus. And we turn to him this morning and we just pour out our lives and we say, here we are. This is who I am. And Lord, take us, use us, mold us, shape us into what you desire our lives to look like, what you desire our lives to be. Lord, take away any me focus we have. May it be about others. May it be about loving and caring and nurturing and sharing this faith together. As we journey together, may you be glorified in all things. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
May the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of life, the one who sustains us, the one who provides us with all the strength and encouragement we need, go with you as we celebrate with thanksgiving who he is in our lives. May we demonstrate that to others this week with thanksgiving and rejoicing always. Amen.